today. And if you would, I would like for you to turn to the, let's go to John. The third chapter of John. Let's see if we can't stir up the pot this morning. Amen. John, the third chapter, just one verse, and I'll do some backtracking, but I want to just start with verse 18. John 3 and 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You may be seated. For the subject, I want to talk about the value of a second. The value of a second. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So in other words, no Christ, no salvation. But do you realize that that choice happens in a second? The value of a second. Most people think our life is gauged in years, months, days, or even hours. But that's not true. Our life is gauged on seconds. Your whole world can be turned upside down in seconds. The minutes, the days, and the hours are only after a multiplication of seconds. So those decisions and those choices that you make can stick with you for the rest of your life, be it negative or positive. Let's look at some examples. Genesis, the third chapter, verse 5 and 6 says, "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he also ate it." And in that split second, the whole Garden of Eden, man's whole existence was turned upside down. She made a decision in a second that has affected us for a lifetime. Now, had she said no, our lives would be much better today. But the fact is, she made a decision. And once you make a decision, you have to live with that decision. Now, you can do one of two things once you make it. You can go, "Woe is me, I've messed up. Crawl under a rock." Or you can understand and accept the mistake and move forward, not making the same mistake again. Amen? So we realize that had she thought about, because you got to remember that God had instructed them, "You can have whatever you want in this entire garden, it belongs to you and to all you possess, but this one tree you need to stay away from." And in one second, their whole world was turned upside down from being naked and not knowing to being naked and wanting to clothe themselves. From being able to live forever to dying. Just one second. Genesis 16:2-4 says, "So she said to Abram, 'The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her.' Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took her Egyptian maidservant, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress." Here you have Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham to go, and I will make you a father of many nations. The problem is that while Abraham had the faith, sometimes there's a disconnect. Because what we try to do is help God out. Now, I know that you said you was going to make me the father of many nations, and Sarah was waiting for the day because she was barren and unable to have children. And she was getting old in age. And so in a second, she decides to play God. She said, well, look, if I can't give it to you, sleep with my maidservant. Abraham, in a split second, because you got to understand that you can't blame one side without blaming the other side. You know, there's always two sides to a story. Well, even though she was not following God fully, the fact was Abraham could have said, no, that's not how it's going to work. If God told me to leave my country and to move forward, then I believe that God will do what he says on his terms. But you know, a man, he thinking, hey, okay, I'll sleep with her if it'll make you happy. And then she becomes pregnant, and now the wife is mad. If you just let God have his way, I guarantee you things will unfold the way you want them to. But we're so interested in helping God out. You know why? Because we don't have the same timetable as God. See, I want to be a success, and I want to be a success now. Not tomorrow, not later. I want everything that you promised me, God, but I want it on my terms. You mean that you had enough sense to follow Christ, but not to stay on course. Abraham had enough sense to leave everything he owned or possessed to move out to a place where he did not know where he was going. But when it came to the simple thing of him giving him a seed, they decided to go against God's will. And because of that, they're still fighting, brothers, Israel and Arab, Jewish and Muslim, because it didn't stop with Hagar, because we know that Isaac had two children as well, Esau and Jacob, who also had a split. Because what? Genesis 25 says, once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That is why he is called an Edom. Jacob replied, first sell your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. In a split second, Esau's whole world was turned upside down for a meal. What am I saying? In life, your success or your failure is in seconds. Everything you do, everywhere you go, everyone you touch, it boils down to seconds. So if you don't take time to evaluate the situation presented before you, you're going to make some mistakes. They did it throughout the Bible to give you an indication of what it's like to think with God and to think without God. So, Jaron, your life is going to be what you make it. And all of you young folks here, your lives will be what you make it. The very decisions that you make, can't nobody make that stuff for you. Can't nobody tell you to hop into a car that you know is stolen? Can't nobody tell you to smoke weed because it's cool? Can't nobody tell you to go get drunk with us and hop in a car, drunk, drive? Can't nobody tell you that stuff and you listen unless what? But see, the problem is after you have made that wrong decision, and then the consequences come home to roost, you're not that happy. Ask a young girl who said no for all her life, waiting till the day she got married, and then one day she said yes to a guy. Come to find out, she's pregnant. Now her whole life changes in an instant, 1 second. Because now, not only is she pregnant, but you got to look at the ramifications after the fact of the rest of the decisions that she'll have to make in her life. Because 9 times out of 10, the one got you pregnant ain't going to be there. That was not his objective. Or you have to make a decision, do I take a life or save a life? Do I cover my mistakes or accept my mistakes? And the guys, they think they're so cool. But that same second when you made a decision can easily lead to a death sentence or a sexually transmitted disease, HIV, anything that would detour your life's ambitions, all because you made a decision that pleased the flesh. Do you realize that that's where we get in trouble? When we try to please the flesh? It's the flesh that makes us move away from God. Because the flesh feels good and wants to be pleased and satisfied. And the only way we can satisfy it is if we say what? Yes. Yeah, I can get drunk, no problem. Yeah, I can get behind the wheel, no problem. Yeah, I can have sex, don't need no protection. That sound familiar? If folks would be truthful and some adults stand up, they can tell you the mistakes they've already made. They can tell you and show you how the pitfalls have changed their lives. There was a young brother in Georgia who slept with a Caucasian woman, or should I say a young girl. And they were boyfriend and girlfriend. And she was all for it and he was all for it. The problem is she got caught. And when she got caught, it was this big black boy on top of her. And she cried rape because her daddy was the one that caught her. And she didn't want her daddy to know that she was willfully having sex. And so therefore, a young man with a scholarship already, full scholarship paid to go to school and to play football, all of a sudden now had been terminated and locked up. All because we want to play adult before it's time to play adult. A split second changed the whole life. Seconds matter. You're watching the NBA championship. Ball is in your hand. Seconds are ticking away fast. One shot can win the game or lose the game. Who do you want to have the ball? The superstar. Well, in your life, guess who's the superstar? You are. So are you going to pull that J, or are you going to find someone to pass it off who has a better shot? But those decisions are what's going to last forever. I went into the military, 18 years old, fresh, ready to go, came straight out the church, loved the Lord, and I had a mindset when I went in. And what I said to myself was, I'm going to keep reading my Bible. I'm going to do what I got to do and save up some money. When I come out, I'm going to have me a car and be in my right mind. Right? Come on, y'all. That's the intention. But the minute you walk out of mama and daddy's house, first of all, if your mama know anything about prayer, she on her knees crying out right now. Because she realized that ain't much changed. Only thing has is escalated a little bit more and a little faster. And so when I got out of my father's house, sweet freedom. Nobody to answer to. Nobody to tell me what time to be in the house. I could do what I want, walk where I want, everything I please. First place I found was a strip club. Not the young man with the word of God in his hand. The problem is that while I had been preparing to love the Lord, no one told me how dangerous the world was. And when you walk into a military environment, let me first tell you, there ain't nothing in there about Jesus. The only thing when you mention Jesus may be when you take your oath. But after that, it's about E and J. Come on. Y'all ain't all been saved. Easy Jesus, don't front. And so they begin to see you in your room. Because you want to resist. Remember, flee. That's what we learned. Flee the devil's temptations. And so I'm in the room and everybody else is having a party. They drinking, having fun, going out to the club. Come on, Jay, let's go. Nah, I'm good, man. Come on, Jay, let's go. Nah, I'm good. First week, 2 week, I'm good. Third week, I'm good. Fourth week, I'm shaking. Yo, man, it's a nice spot, man. You know, they got near beer there. I said, what the heck is near beer? That's half the alcohol content. And so I say, all right. I go out there, 18 fresh eyes, walking to the strip club. And I see things that I've never quite seen before in a way I've never quite seen them. And all of a sudden, a fascination began to come in. I have no more boundaries. Because, of course, my mother wouldn't want me here. But she ain't here. And my father warned me about this. But he ain't here. And my spirit says I'm in the wrong place. But I don't see you. And what happens is it begins to escalate. Because from the strip club, then you walk into the video store. Now, whenever you walk into the video store, you know what you get. PG-13 or PG. The movies you always got. Because you couldn't walk into a rated R because you had to be 18 and over unless you snuck in. And, of course, I never snuck in nowhere. But now there was this curtain. They said 18 only, allowed behind the curtain. Well, I'm 18. I'm my own man. I'm in the military. I'm looking around the store, and I see the curtain. You know, like a kid with a cookie jar. Stay away from that cookie jar. I'm tapping my fingers. And I get closer to the section. Like I'm looking at drama. No, I ain't looking at no drama at 18 years old. But it's close to this curtain. And then, you know, because you've been raised the right way, you start peeking around your shoulder to see who's looking. Now, I'm in Aurora, Colorado. Ain't nobody looking at me. Because don't nobody know me from Adam. But that training, my background, is behind me. And so I'm looking to see if anybody sees me. And nobody stopped me when I touched the curtain. So what do? I back in. And then I see stuff I ain't never seen before. And next thing you know, I got to go to the counter. Now, it's all right when you go with Herbie the Love Bug. But you go with the Herbie name more than some other crazy title added to it. You got to wonder what's going on. See, it starts off innocent. No big deal. I'm grown. I'm an adult. But it escalates. Because once you have reached one plateau or one level, then the flesh wants more. See, the thing about sin is it keeps asking you to pay more. There is never a point where you say, okay, I'm fine, I'm good with that. The problem is it gets old. And now with freedom, you out there. So while it was beginning to tear down my moral fabric, I went overseas to Europe. Still 18. Still fresh. But I got some cracks now. Because the Bible that I brought with me, I was no longer reading. The prayer life that I had, I no longer had. The fellowship that once surrounded me is no longer there. So the big three has been taken out of my life slowly but surely, picking me apart when I don't even see it. So I get to Europe and the remnants that I have of my past lingers for about 6 months, because you got to always remember that when you accept Christ, even though you may act a fool, the spirit is still with you. And it won't let you go as far as it will. And I'm glad that it slowed me down. But after 6 months, I've realized that I've changed. I went from being Ryan Johnson to Big J. Star football player. Mercedes Benz. My own place off of base. The world was at my feet, and I began to act just like that. And then I began to do things that I don't have to talk about. Some of y'all know because you've been there. Y'all ain't always been in churches. Some been in church and still did it. But I was doing my own thing, and every time I made a split-second decision. And I'm thankful that God kept me in the midst of my stupidity. Because it don't always happen like that. So that means that even though I was acting stupid, let me tell you, I had some prayer warriors who was keeping me shielded. See, when he goes out, he is not going to be able to do it just by himself. You're going to need some folks praying, and I'm talking about some serious prayer to keep him from the enemy. And when I got to a certain point, I would back up because I knew I couldn't go that far down the road. I went to Atlanta to be a rap star. I was in the clubs. I know most people that y'all know right now because I was coming up on the ground level. The problem was that because I had a background, I would not give up who I was. JD asked me to do some things. LaFace asked me to do some things. The problem was that I could not assimilate because it was truly going against Christ. Even though I wanted to be in the business and I had the stuff to get there, I had to back up and say, well, wait a minute, because if I do this, and the only thing that I kept saying to myself, most people say, can I do this before my mother? But I said to myself, can I present this to my Savior? And so in a split second, you can go from rich to broke. So that means that you got to have some faith in God that he's going to what? See you through. He's going to help you make some good decisions. I got friends all around me that is dead, gone, diseases, you name it. And somehow he kept me to bring me to this point. Don't know why, don't really care why, but I'm thankful that he did. And so I'm here to tell you that your lives are ahead of you. And you have to begin to make decisions right now. It's no longer can you say, well, mom or dad, no. When you out there in the middle of the concrete jungle, there's nobody that's going to sit there and tell you, no, that's wrong. Especially if all your friends are not or without Christ. If you got a crew who don't know who Jesus is, who you think going to stop you from doing the wrong? Who you think is going to stop you from saying that's the wrong way to go? Who you think is going to get a hold of you who really cares you and love you enough to say, John, that's the wrong way to go? No, what they're going to say is let's roll. Told y'all last week, whenever I wanted to do dirt, I said, look, I'm going over here to this part of Germany. Who down? Yo, I'm in it. You don't even know what I'm doing. Don't matter. If you're doing it, I'm in it. When I come to the church, it's like, yo, we're going over here. We got this worship service. I holler. Where the same boys when I was hanging in the street? When I come to the church, and don't act like y'all don't know, because you came to the church for a reason, right? You're not doing God a favor by sitting here. If it's time to get together for a second service to go praise God some more, let's roll. Now, Doc, come on. I got a football game about to kick off, man. I mean, I love Jesus, but come on, man. I ain't, you know, even Jesus watching football right now. I know I got to be at church, man, but do you realize the folks or the fellas will get up early on Saturday morning to go shoot some ball, but they ain't getting up Sunday morning to go to church. Christian folk. And then when they do finally get cleaned up, they may come in late. But the problem is that you are already dictating your life. And then you wonder why I got so many issues. And the women, y'all can't escape. It's the same thing. You make decisions based upon who likes you. Based upon who wants you. Based upon who lifts you up. The only reason why you slept with him because he gave you some attention. Because wasn't nobody else giving it. Self-esteem was low, so yeah, I give him some. He loved me now. Please. I can tell you because I was there. I was so bold, I'll let you know. No, you ain't the only. So if you say, at least I knew how not to lie. I didn't have to play a game. I didn't have to play a game because I wasn't trying to lie and had to backtrack a lie. That's why folk be getting shot. Trying to backtrack a lie. No, look, y'all. Your life can be as good as you want it to be or as bad as you want it to be. You got to make decisions. And you got to evaluate the decisions that you're making. Because if you don't, Satan will. He'll put the pitfalls in front of you. He knows what it's going to take to make you fall. Even as a pastor right now, he still knows where my weaknesses are. Because I left the game don't mean I'm far from it. You give me a second, a dime, a quarter, anything, and I can tell you trouble is on the horizon. I got to surround myself with the same things that kept me to keep me. Because if not, please, I'm gonna be the same way you are. I've been around some preachers, some I wouldn't even take with me. Please don't pray for me. I'm privileged to inner circle stuff, and I'll be like, that's too much information for me. So you gotta evaluate your life based upon your relationship with God. It's beautiful to hear and to love your pastor, but remember, you need to go through the word of God yourself. You're going to have to take a stand for God. Now, let me tell you this. Because I know sometimes it's easier said than done. But if we honest with ourselves right now in this room, All of us have made decisions we wish we never had made. And we had the hindsight not to make those decisions, but we did it anyhow. And we figured that we was bigger and bad enough to handle the consequences until the consequences come. And then you realize that I messed up. Well, if you could backtrack, you would do it all over again. Well, you can't backtrack. So now you have to look forward to moving forward. But now make sure every second of your life counts. I'm going to tell you one more story. I went to a club with my boys. And I was a designated driver. I've always been a designated driver because I had that background. I don't have to drink to have a good time. You know, I don't have to drink to talk to. Some people got to drink just to talk to a girl. I don't understand. Now, obviously, you're going to say yay or nay. You know, not to mention when you're in the club in the dark, she look great. Just like he look good. Till the lights come on, you go outside, you're like, man. But I was the designated driver, and this time I said, you know what? I'm not going to do it. Somebody else can do it. And the drunk volunteered. And I said, man, come on, man. Oh, Jay, I got this, man. You know, I haven't been drinking too much anyway. So I said, all right. So I go in the club. I get a little tipsy. I'm having fun, laying back. I look over in the corner. Who throwing him back? Him. Now I'm about 3 hours from the crib. And I'm looking at him, and I got to make a decision. Now, it was too late to stop drinking because night was almost over. And I was still sober enough to get into the car with a drunk because he wasn't going to hand me the keys, and I wasn't going to drive because I was drunk. So I said to myself in this second, I guess need to get drunker. That way, I don't feel it when I die. Because I'm not walking home, and that's my ride. So I need to be passed out in the back seat. And if I hear the harps playing, at least I know that I'm saved. And I gets drunk. And I gets out in this car, and I hop in the back seat. It only took it 3 hours to get home, right? When we got home, it was 6 hours later. I said, bruh, why'd it take us 6 hours? Man, I was lost. And I just kept riding around until I found it. But the only reason why I believe that we're alive, because even though I was acting a fool, there was a child of God on board. We make mistakes, but God looks out for us. He gives us time to get it right. He gives us time. There's no greater God than that. Even we know that the world is coming to an end. If you look at Revelations, you will see that God's kingdom is being ushered out and Satan's kingdom is coming in. The only reason why we're still here is because God is patient. He's waiting for those who accept Christ to accept him. Once the last person is saved, the stage is set. So right now, you got a decision to make. Split-second decision. One that can save your life, one that can destroy your life. When Christ came in, made a split-second decision. Today, I'm dying. Christ could have said no. He had a legion of angels ready to come at a simple word. But he loved us enough that he decided to die on the cross. He paid the price of all of our foolishness, a price we could never pay. And he says that if you accept me and the work that I did on the cross, you can be born again. And some say, well, Rev, that's fine. We got a little more partying to do. That's your second. Because nobody told you that you're going to make it through the party. Nobody told you you're going to make it out of that car. Nobody told you somebody was going to cross the median and slam right into you and your whole family. Nobody knows the day, the second, or the hour when they're going to leave this place. And we all know that by watching the news, young folks dying left and right. Families being destroyed at the whole pot. Families being killed. So your life is in your hands. Jesus paid the price. Jesus did all the work. Who else would do all the work for us? So when you go off, you got to remember who you belong to. You got to remember not only for yourself, but for those who are around you. Because remember, the world is waiting for you. And they're going to want to attack you. Whether you're going to the military, whether you're going to college, the same experience, just a different kind of game. More folks die from blood-related incidents with too much alcohol in the system from a party. Taking a bong, turning it upside down, no oxygen whatsoever, and just drinking. Drink, drink, drink. Then when you on the floor dead, they all gone. Because don't nobody want to be around, because don't nobody know what's wrong with you. So you got to make some decisions that says, you know what, I am grown. And I don't need mama and dad. I got the Holy Spirit who lives within me. So I'm going to make some decisions that are beneficial to not only me, but to my future. Women the same way. You want to have a good and productive family? Keep your legs closed. Until God says to open them. That leads to success. If not, don't be mad at him because he ain't hanging around. Don't be mad at her because she ain't giving you what you want. And I know the thing, well, I'll just find somebody else. No, you left a good woman. Woman who said no, you better stay with her. Because she say no to you, she'll say no to your friends too. She say yeah to you, she's going to say yeah to your friends. You better start weighing the decisions that you make, because whether you are a success or a failure lies with who? Us. The decisions that we make in only a split second. Jesus said, I'll stay on the cross. I'll die for them. Then early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. See, the results of following God is the results of victory. The world may think he lost, but we know better, because he said he's coming back again. And it's the last second. He says that when I return, it'll be like a thief in the night, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall be rise first, and those who are alive shall be caught up. That's how fast. That's how fast that on that day, it's going to be mass chaos after the second that Jesus calls his church home. Are you going to be in the four number or the back number? Let me paint a real quick picture. If you miss his return, there's no guarantee that you'll ever get saved. Because you have to avoid the calamities of that day. If you think 9/11 was something, 9/11 don't even compare to the rapture. Because you're going to have pilots disappear, planes flying with no pilot, trains driving with no engineer, cars driving with no driver, husband and wife. Husband wake up, wife gone. Wife with children. Husband, wife still sleeping, get up, baby crib empty. Mass hysteria, all because of a second decision. I leave it in your court. I accepted Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. Even when I had some rough times, he brought me through. When I acted a fool, he brought me through. So you can think that the world has your back or that your homies got your back. Nobody's going to be there to catch you when you fall other than Christ. You got to make a decision for yourselves. Jerem wanted you here to celebrate with him, but he also wanted you to hear the gospel. You got to make a decision on how you're going to spend the rest of your life, either with Christ or without Christ. And do not think that you got time, because time is on nobody's side. And remember, your life is evaluated on seconds. There's no guarantee that I'll be here the next minute. You make a decision. The value of a second lies in your hands. The doors of the church are open this morning.